You're listening to KHUM. That was a track off of the soundtrack for Mary Jane, a musical podumentary. And right now I have the filmmaker, John Howarth, and Mary Jane, Joan Shirley, in here with me. Thank you for making the trek all the way down here from Blue Lake.
Good morning.
It's pretty awesome. Good morning.
Hi, thanks for having us in.
So the idea for this started from the play at Del Arte on over at the Mad River Festival. And you saw the play, John, in 2013 and then got the idea for this.
Well, I saw the play its first outing in 2011. And being a filmmaker, you're always on the lookout for ideas. And I thought, this could make a really interesting film. There was a moment in the play which brought the thing alive, which was the song called The Industry, which pointed to the dark side of things. It wasn't just a hippy-trippy celebration of the wonders of marijuana. It was much more than that. And it registered, but I was busy. I was doing other stuff and I did nothing. And then the play came out for the second year in 2012 and I saw it again, and it had been, been changed, and additions had been made and changes made. And I thought, it really still stands up, and I did nothing about it. And subsequently, I was sitting in the Carlo Theatre at Del Arte at another event and happened to sit next to a man I didn't know called Tim Gray. And the friend I was with introduced me to Tim, and with the words saying, John always thought that Mary Jane could be turned into a movie. And Tim said, well, you ought to meet Michael Fields, who is the artistic director at Del Arte, who wrote the original play. And 5 minutes later, I was talking to him, and Michael said, we should talk. And we did. And 2 years later, 3 years later, maybe, here we are.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, you started a Kickstarter campaign and got over $10,000 pretty fast.
That's right. We did that to get some seed money. We were able to hire someone to go out and do some serious fundraising with that, which we did with 10 days to go before we shot the film. So I was planning it in great detail and, getting all the logistics to work before I had any money to do anything. And I didn't think it was going to happen at that point. And then a couple of people appeared and stepped forward and got the thing going, and we were able to do it.
And this is not going to be a documentary just on the play. You're actually looking at the whole marijuana industry.
The idea started as being a movie of the play. And somewhere along the line, the word documentary got mentioned. And I said, no, it's not a documentary. It's a musical. It's a movie. And it was Jane Hill, one of the founders of Del Arte, who said, well, why can't it be a documentary as well? Which seemed a crazy idea to me at the time, but then I started to think about it, and there's a lot that could be made real in the story. So what we coined the word potumentary, or the word was coined for me by a lady called Becky Grant, who lives in Petrolia, who came up with the word potumentary. And having that word made it sort of the concept of being something beyond just a movie came about. And so we've got real documentary with real players in the whole industry in this area who are now in the film as themselves in a documentary sense, but intertwined with a movie version of the stage play. So it's not a documentary about the play at all. It's a combination of those two things.
And there's scenes like I'm pushing a shopping cart through, Wonderland?
NHS.
NHS.
Yeah.
Out in McKinleyville, where text that I said from the stage in the play, in the movie, I'm walking around shopping for, new sets of trim shears and some fertilizer and stuff like that. So,
yeah. And Mary Jane turns to the camera and talks to the camera. So she comes out of, she stays within character, but becomes out of the context of the fourth wall of the movie. She talks to the audience. So we have this Mary Jane, the character, becomes like a narrator of the documentary. So we've tried to blend the two things together there and blur that line between, well, what is the real thing and what is not the real thing, whilst showing what the real thing really is. For instance, there's a song which is called The Trimmer's Flamenco. And I knew that if this film is going to really mean anything, it has to be in a real trim scene. It can't be just done in a studio somewhere. And we found the right place to do it. And we dressed the scene to look real. So we've got those real elements within the fiction, but then we go beyond it into those real elements, which are real elements, but with fictional characters within them.
That's cool that you blur the lines like that, because it's really hard to take a made production like a play and then cut into it to also interject documentary style pieces into it.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the cool things about John's concept. And I sure didn't know when we started how that was all going to flow out, and that there'd be a scene, you know, you shoot in the farmer's market and I'm walking across the plaza toward a bar and going into it. But when we cut to being inside the bar, it's actually a place in Blue Lake set up just so it looked like a bar so that we could film Fred Neighbor's wonderful song, "I Just Want to Get High," in there. But I'm not even sure you knew at the beginning, John, exactly how many of these scenes, because he kept saying, oh, I've got to get a shot of that happening. Oh, I just heard about blah, and I've got to include that, you know, the sheriff's car or, yeah, the highway patrol yeah. chasing a
That was
truck.
One of the weird things. I was absolutely amazed and overwhelmed by the amount of cooperation I got from growers and people who, in theory, are in the shadows, you might say. I got wonderful cooperation from a whole bunch of people. And yet, when I try and get the sheriff to... I did get Fish and Wildlife to talk to me. I did get Fire Chief to talk, and they're in the film as interviewees, straightforward documentary interviewees. I tried to get the sheriff, but you ring the sheriff and say, "We don't have anything to do with marijuana." And they wouldn't be in it. But I did need a shot of a sheriff's car, and I did find one deputy who was very helpful.
Oh, that's awesome.
So we got that, yeah.
Wow.
It's so strange. I think the timing of this is pretty great, you know, that now that we're kind of on the cusp of a massive change in the whole way the state and the area and so on is dealing with the whole issue of cannabis, that this is, you know, either this is going to appear totally dated because it's a look at the industry as still being a completely illegal thing, or it's going to be prescient and really perfect timing for this to come out. We put a sign up advertising the premiere. In Blue Lake, there's a roundabout, and everybody puts their signs, you know, the Green Waste Day, the yoga, this. And so we put the picture of me as Mary Jane smoking, and that's based on the zigzag thing, out there announcing the premiere. And we were asked to take it down because the elementary school actually controls that bit of space. And I was talking to a Blue Laker and mentioned this. He said, "Well, what the hell? In 7 months, it's all going to be different anyway, and it's going to be a legal thing to be doing. So what are they so worried about?" So what people are imagining is going to happen as opposed to what's happening now. It's really, really interesting. So I think the timing of this coming out, it's a great time.
Yeah, and I think it's a good to also document all mm-hmm. of that, because this is a very, very changing time.
Yeah.
Like, I heard about the Board of Supervisors meeting that you all kind of parodied, mm-hmm. I guess, in this, and I'm looking forward to seeing that. It's cool that you got into the Board of Supervisors chamber.
I know.
To film that.
That came about, I was here 18 months ago on a research trip, basically to check the viability. I said before, we needed to get into real grow scenes. We needed to get into real trim rooms. And if I couldn't do that, then my idea wasn't going to work. Mm-hmm. So I came on a trip to sort of see if that was going to work. And that's when I came to the Ganja event in February of last year. Met a whole bunch of people who were really helpful there. And then one of the things that I got told about was this meeting that was happening at the supervisors, the thing in Eureka. And I thought, I don't want to really go to a political meeting. That's not going to help me. But I wasn't doing anything that afternoon. And Suska, who's one of the actors who's in the play, who was helping me with the logistics of what I was doing, she said, "Oh, come along. I want to go to that anyway. So let's just go along." So, of course, that meeting became quite notorious. The chamber was jammed full of people. There was standing room and all the rest of it. And Luke Bruner stood up to give his presentation And he gave a speech, and it was like listening to Martin Luther King. He was like evangelizing mm-hmm. about the whole industry, and everybody was transfixed in the room. And he, at the end of his speech, which was quite long, but very, you know, informative, he turned, you know, he looked at the supervisors in front of him and said, "So what I'm saying to you all today is, please, taxes, please, regulators." And I had my little notebook in front of me, and I just wrote that down. I thought, wow, that sounds like a song title. And I looked across at Suska sitting next to me, and she was writing something down as well. And I just mouthed to her, I said, "A song?" And she nodded her head and said, "Yeah." So she went away and wrote it. And I was talking to a friend of mine and saying that this was happening. I said, "I just don't know where I'm going to film it." And he said, "Well, why don't you ask if you can get into the chamber?" And I thought, no, no way. Anyway, I spoke to Mark Lovelace, and he said, "I'll see what I can do. But will you have a part for me?" And I said, "Sure." And, you know, when the time came, we were in the chamber, and we got the gospel choir in to do the chorus, and we did it.
And ringers for all the other supervisors.
Yeah, yeah.
Except Mark, yeah. Who really...
Mark played himself,
yeah.
But as the chairman of the board. and we got ringers for everyone else.
Well, that's awesome. I'm looking forward to seeing that. It should be super cool. And you mentioned Suska writing down a little bit. She's one of the many writers of songs for this, because they're all local songwriters. Mm-hmm.
I have to check the number. There's 16 original songs in the show, and there are about 8 or 9 writers. I haven't got those.
Yeah, and some of them are songs that existed, like there's 2 wonderful songs by Joni Rose, who's a Soham writer, singer, songwriter. And she contributed a wonderful song called Ghost Town about, you know, what's going to happen when the pot bubble bursts. And another one that Mary Jane gets to sing about her son, of what it means to have raised a kid in the marijuana milieu. Really moving songs, because they come from somebody who's real about it. And then a real old song by Eldon Green called Humboldt Honey, which is one of the audience favorites, based on the typical Birkenstock wearing dreadlock tie-dye image. And Janessa Johnsrud plays the Humboldt Honey.
Yeah, I've seen the posters around parody that.
Yeah. And then The Industry by Scott Menzies, who no longer lives here. He's now living in Fort Bragg, but he's been back twice to tour with us to do the guitar licks in The Industry, which has been really great to have him. I hope he's coming to the premiere.
Yeah, I hope so too. Who else? Scott, are you coming?
Tim Randles, who's the musical director on this, and our keyboard player. He wrote Why Is Whiskey Legal and Pot Is Not? And helped me arrange my song and the Trimmers song. I wrote the song about going to the Emerald Ball, going to win the Emerald Cup. What else we got in there?
Well, we also have our Hollywood star in the movie.
That's right.
I saw that. We were very surprisingly offered Ed Asner, and I was asked would there be a part for him in the movie, and I thought, well, sure, yeah, of course there will be. And there was. There was a part that I immediately thought of, which is the chairman of the board of directors of the corporate greed company. And I think one of my proudest moments is getting Ed Asner to sing a song. And this is another song written by Scott Menzies.
And he does it very well.
Which is either called This Bud's For You or Corporate Raiders in various guises. Mm-hmm. And it's about the threat that the, you know, big industry will come in and take over the whole deal. And Ed, he doesn't really sing it, but he sort of talks his way through it in rhythm. And he did a great job, and it was wonderful to work with him. He's a really nice guy.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a nice day.
So he kind of sings like William Shatner?
Growlier.
Yeah.
We are the corporate raiders.
Yeah.
You must have fallen out of your chair whenever you found that out. That's pretty cool.
Well, what's funny is I remember one of our investors writing and saying, you know, is there a part for Ed Asner in this? And at the time, I thought we were still doing the play as a movie. And I said, well, everyone who's cast in the play is playing their own part. So there's not realizing that we could invent a part for him. And I'm glad that turned out the way mm-hmm. it did.
I thought when it was offered at first, I thought it was, you know, somebody was dreaming and sort of thinking that they could, you know, get this guy in. And, you know, I didn't really think it was going to happen. But it got more real. And then I ended up with Ed Asner's phone number and suddenly we were doing it, you know. And it was a good experience.
Isn't that funny how that all goes?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So even if people have gone and see the play every single year, going to go see the Pochumentary, it's going to be completely different. Plus,
very different.
Ed Asner in it.
Mm-hmm. Really
so
different.
That'll be neat.
Yeah. So because it's a movie, and we've been able to get other people playing certain parts that have never been in the stage play. Some of the parts that were in the stage play are played by different people. And there are new characters created in there as well in some way. It has all the original actors in it, but they may be playing the same characters in a different way. And of course it's all out on location.
And we're singing the songs in different places. I mean, I sing a great song. Oh, gee, it's cush to be Mary Jane, you know, surrounded in a sunlight in a pot garden where we were shooting. And then there's, you know, cut to Mary Jane with her land partners, Darla and Dharma, in their kitchen, which is in a totally other place. But so it has this element of storytelling, movie making, and the songs go in and out of that. And the other interesting thing is the shoot. I don't know if it's worth to try to explain, John, about how it's some of it shot inside the Emerald Cup itself, and then it migrates out and suddenly you're in a location. So I think people who saw the play will be quite surprised at how we put it all together.
Yeah, I've kept the framework because it is about the an event called the Emerald Ball, which we all know what it's based on, which is when you see the play, you are present at a theatrical event which is being performed in front of you. And I've kept that element. So there is this element that it is a theatrical event that we're seeing, but it doesn't take place in the Delarte Theatre. It takes place in a tent somewhere in a field. But we go away from that. So that is just, that's the framework of the story. And whenever we talk about anything, we go to that anything, and the rest of the story carries on there. And then we come back to the framework within this theatrical event that's happening, but that's only, we just visit it from time to time throughout the film.
Well, that's awesome. I'm looking forward to seeing this. If people can't go to the Green Carpet World premiere, you'll have other showings of it soon.
Well, that's
any schedule
to be arranged. Okay. We don't know yet. I mean, it's this is pre-distribution, so there are other factors playing on it at the moment. We can't. The people will. If people are thinking there's a DVD or a Blu-ray, that can't be done at the moment because distributors, of course, don't want that yet. But there will be opportunities, yes, and we'll keep everyone posted.
So everybody needs to cancel their plans and get advance tickets to go to the Green Carpet World premiere of Mary Jane, a musical Pochumentary, on over at the Eureka Theater on Friday. It's 15 advance, 20 the day of the show. You can get advance tickets through delarte.com. You can also call 707-668-5663, extension 120.
And they can dress up, dress down, dress for a movie premiere, or wear head-to-toe tie-dye, whatever.
Green ballroom gowns?
Yes, green ballroom gowns are perfectly appropriate. I wish I had one.
Tie-dyed, yeah. It'll be pretty sweet. Well, thanks for coming in to talk to me.
Thanks,
not
Bailey.
At all. I've enjoyed it.
Awesome. Do you want to wrap this up? I know I'm putting you on the spot with another one of the tracks.
Well, try The Industry. Mm-hmm.
The Industry? Okay. Number 11.
Here it comes.
Dun, dun, dun.